Hi, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to a message from the People's Church. Whether you listen online, attend our local church, or both, you are a part of our vibrant community.
It's so good to be here. It's a blessedness, especially celebrating Mother's Day. I don't hear the mothers cheering, but it... thank you. It's really good to be in People's Church. It's definitely the People's Church. You know, you can feel the Spirit of God, you know, the welcome, the love, and the care and support. So thank you. I'm going to, in honor of Mother's Day, we will be looking at women and their lives of sacrifice for their family, especially for their children. God has used women and their tenacity to withstand and travail throughout the Bible. And I'm sure we are all Bible reading people in here. Amen. The verses that I've chosen are from Romans 12, 1, 2, New King James. And it's very common verse, I think, especially from the book of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sacrifice and mothers, synonymous. The life of sacrifice is the heart of Christianity. This is clearly seen in the life and death of Jesus Christ, who is meant to be our truest example. Out of his sacrifice, life springs forth. In the progress and advancements that men have made, that particular element has been lost, and it is less and less reflected in the church. We serve, we minister from a place of comfort and not so much sacrifice. But this biblical concept is very much alive and manifested in the African woman where I come from and that I am used to. And that is not to say that the lives of women here is not sacrificial, but I cannot talk from your point of view. I can only talk from where I'm coming from. And that is my testimony to you. Amen. So talking about the African woman, she's not alone. She finds her strength from women of old, centuries before, she finds a reflection in the women of the word, women of boldness, perseverance, tenacity, and courage. This woman is thus because she cannot be any other way. Two examples from scripture that I will reflect on is the Shunammite woman and Bathsheba, who was the wife of David, as we all know. Bathsheba, she was forcibly taken by an authority figure, a king, made a widow by the same man, by the greed of a man who already had other wives. She lost not just her husband, but also her child, yet still raised a king in Solomon. Her story, though tumultuous, is one of beauty from ashes, a promise made by God in Isaiah 61, verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Her life is echoed through Africa, throughout. In Malawi, where I come from, that is the life. With women bearing children out of the most challenging of circumstances, early marriages, young girls being forced into marriages at the age of 12 and 13 and 14, sexual abuse, gender-based violence, violence in the homes, rape on the rise, women left defenseless, but still in spite of the situations they face, in spite of the circumstances they face, they rise up and begin to fight for their families. That is something that we as women are the ones that birth, and we birth from dead, we will birth life. We will stand, whether it's your child, whether it's my child, whatever that child is going through, we will stand and fight for that life because we birthed that life. And by the grace of God, He gives us the strength, He gives us the courage, but above all, He gives us the joy in the midst of all that pain to come through as women. As for the Shunammite woman, this is one case that we as Africans, and I'm sure even here in the West, we can relate to this woman. She is a woman who travailed for the life of her child. In 2 Kings, chapter 4, 8 to 17, the story begins with a woman who recognized God in her midst and through a kindness to a prophet was granted her desire for a child. But like every story, it takes a turn for the bad. We find ourselves in verse 18, when the blessing of a son is challenged by circumstance, something all too familiar to a mother in Africa and a mother around the world. When we are struck with circumstances that we feel are not what we expected, but we know that there is a way out because of our trust in God. It tells you in verse 4:18 that the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." Hey, that is it, to the mother. Carry him to his mother. The heart of the African mother is not lost on men. There are situations where men give up, but women will find a way to travail past the hopelessness and the helplessness that they find themselves in. The father tells the servant, "Take the boy to his mother." In other words, the mother should deal with this. And I'm not saying anything about the men here today. I'm just saying he was told to take the child to the mother. So often when a child falls ill, I'm not conversant with the West that much, but where I'm coming from and from where I'm standing, often when a child gets sick, men flee. They leave the home. They run away. And it's left up to the woman to now find out what she can do for the child. And with limited resources. But you know, one thing we have is a great resource. The greatest resource anyone would ever want in life, and that is our God. Amen. Our God. And these knees that you see here, these knees, they have traveled the world on my knees praying, for my children praying, for my community praying, for my church praying, and that's why the women are really, you know, when you talk about the backbone of society, it is women. Amen. Hello, women. Amen. It's our day. We will celebrate ourselves, even if the men don't want. If I was at home, I would be doing a dance and a song. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we do not give up on our children, on a situation, even on a marriage. I do believe that, I don't know much here, but I do believe women really travail in situations where they find that the marriage is not working, the child is on drugs, or the child is drunk. They will travail. They won't just throw up their hands and say, I've had enough, or I can't take it anymore. They will travail. These are people who birth things. We birth them in the natural. We birth them in the spirit. God has given us that extra tenacity and strength to birth. So every woman here, remember, when you are going through a challenge, when you are going through a problem, you have the ability to change that situation, to birth something new where something looked very dead. You have that ability. And it's that ability that the African woman holds on to and hangs on to, knowing that no matter what I see here, but God, because it is God who will get me through that situation. So men at home flee. They run away from these situations. No food in the house, they flee. Somebody is sick, they flee. But when it comes to a celebration, they run towards it. I'm speaking truth, because I need you to understand what a woman has to go through. You know, providing for her family, walking miles to carry water, looking for food for a child. And this is this woman. The child comes to the mother. The child says, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. That child that the father sent with the servant to the mother. I don't know if he came back to find out what had happened to the child. It doesn't say. The Bible is silent. So I take advantage and say the woman was by herself with the child. There she was, and this is what we go through, the burden of caring for sick children, dying children, mothers. It's ingrained in the very fiber of who we are, the ability to sacrifice and to travail on behalf of our families, on behalf of our children. No scripture rings more true to the African mother than this scripture that I've read. How many children has the lap of the African mother held? Sometimes it's the son and then the grandson. Grannies, we look after our grandchildren. We look after our children, then it's our grandchildren, then it is our great-grandchildren. Society has just made it very, very, very tough for women. But we travail, we prevail, and because of God, who is in the midst of whatever we are going through, we are able to come out stronger than we were when we started off. Amen. Sometimes a mother has to reach beyond herself and believe beyond the explained. She said to the husband that she was going away. She said to him in verse 21, she went up, she laid the child on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And all she said is, it is well. She wasn't going to tell him he's dead. Hello? Because he would have been preparing for a funeral. You know, that's the next step. Logic, you know, the mindset. Let's prepare for the funeral. This woman was silent about the state of the child. She was going to see the man of God who had promised her. And there are promises God gives us. There are promises that we receive from God. And then things go wrong, and then we take that accusing look at God and say, how could you? But as women, we look beyond the how could you. We look beyond the situation, we look beyond what is happening, and we say, as long as God is for me, who can be against me? The word of God rings true in every circumstance, in every situation. You know, if this was here, you would probably have called 911, right? An ambulance would have come, they would have put oxygen and whatever it is. We don't have the 911s. The 911 that I know, that I've known all my life up to today, the 911 that I depend on, the 911 that I reach out to, the 911 that I cry out to, God. God. Mothers, please teach your children 911. Hello, 911. Tell your child, whether at college, wherever that child is studying, whatever, there is a 911. And there is a Holy Spirit who will put you in remembrance as long as you have studied. He will do that for you. So, dependence on God, the presence of God in our lives. How strong is it? How much do we turn to Him in every situation? Do we turn to people before we turn to God? Is God the last resort when nothing is working out, or is He the first place we go to? so that he can minister to us and inform us and advise us and comfort us and show us where we should really go. Is it to another person, or is this something God is trying to teach us for ourselves? This woman knew her source. This woman knew. She went back to the man of God, the source of what had happened to her, to go and tell him that, look here, something's wrong. Left the husband, as I said. He didn't, I doubt if he knew the child was dead. But she went. And as the, it shows, as she was reaching the prophet, he saw her from a distance. And he showed his servant. He said to his servant that, you know, please run now to meet her and say to her, Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. She still said, it is well. She made haste when this happened. She was tenacious in her faith. Women of sacrifice are willing to endure ridicule for the love of their children and family. She was determined and she was single-minded. She had been given a child of promise and was not overcome or deterred by the circumstances. So she went forth. These are situations that are beyond the hand of a man. The counselors have come and gone. The rehab stints that you have tried have come and gone. The talk, the money, the investment, yet nothing. But mothers are those that will not give up. They will believe beyond reason. Their faith is in God of the impossible. People can tell you whatever they want about your child, but let me tell you, if that is truly your child and you birthed that child, no devil in hell is going to tell you to condemn your own child. No devil in hell. That is a God-given gift, because when you do that, you are saying God doesn't know what he's doing. This is the all-seeing God, the all-knowing God. Because we do not like to suffer. We do not like pain. But sacrifice is what makes things look like they will be all right. It is through sacrifice. And this is what mothers do. This is what our grandmothers did. This is what our great-grandmothers did. You can imagine the great-grandmothers or the grandmothers in this church today. I want you to honor them. Honor them. Respect them. Teach your children to respect them, to honor them. Because these are the ones that travailed for you to be where you are today, to have what you have today. They went, even in a country where there was nothing, they went with their husbands, believed God for whatever would happen. Trusted God for whatever would happen. And that is the tenacity of a woman, birthing and travailing. And that is what the African woman is about. When everything seems lost, she won't give up. This is in poverty, no health support, no support at all, no social services, as you would know them here. Walking 40 miles to a hospital to give birth, but doing it because she wants that child. She loves that child. And usually they would go on their own. The men would not go with them. And that is what I call sacrifice. Knowing that God is with me, knowing that God will see me through it, knowing that God will never leave me nor forsake me. These are not words. These are not words to memorize and quote. These are words that you live. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christ lived it. That's why we know it today. And that is what we ought to do. People do not... They look at us and they wonder what Christianity is about. They shouldn't wonder. When they see you and me, they should see that is Christ. I serve with women and men that have never read a Bible. Never. The only Bible they see is me. Am I portraying Christ? Am I bringing life? Am I bringing light? Am I salt? Am I quickening mortal bodies and minds as I go forth? Or do people shy away from me? Do people shy away from you? Has the world taken authority over your Christian life? We need to ask ourselves those questions, because this woman decided she was going back to the source, and she went back. And we need to go to the source, and that is God. We need to go back to that source. We need to question that source if we want to question it, but that is God. Don't go throwing up your hands and saying, I've had enough. You have not had enough. Come to Africa. Come to Malawi. You will have enough. I am serious. I am serious. You will have enough. When you have to wake up at 3-4 in the morning, take care of your family, cook for your family, do everything for your family, you will have enough. And yet you will still go on, because you will praise God. Because everything that you do in your life is a worship to the Lord. And He honors that. He honors that. He honors that. That's why our children go astray, because they notice things in us that are very unchristian, because we behave like pagan believers, you know? It is one of the phrases I've coined at home to teach people. But let us be the model that Christ expects us to be, to our children, to our family. And going back to women, I just salute women. I salute my own mother. She brought up 10 children. And all of us were in the Word. She made it. She made time for us. She showed us. I saw Christ in my mother more than I saw it in the priests. And I was a Catholic then, but I saw Christ in my mother. My mother. That's where I learned who Christ was. That's where I saw who Christ was. So we go back to our story, and she goes to the man of God, and he says to the servant, please run to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. This sacrificial mother is willing to endure rejection for those she loves. Gehazi came to push her away. He represents every obstacle that stands in the way of a mother fighting for her child before God. The doctors who say, oh no, you know, there's nothing more we can do. The people who say, oh no, this child is too far gone. You know, the drugs, when you take your child to rehab and they say, oh no, this child, you know, it was going to take years for him, you know, and so forth. Those are the Gehazis that block what God is trying to do in your life and through your life. And as this woman, so to the African woman, so to women around the world face insurmountable obstacles, but continue to fight in prayer, in faith for the redemption of those they love. Sacrificial women are humble women. She did not face the prophet face to face. She did not get angry at Gehazi, who told her to keep away from the prophet. She humbled herself. She fell down and grabbed his feet. We do not go face to face with God. This is not a war. We go down, we humble ourselves. We bring our needs to God, and He will raise us up. He will raise us up, because He knows already why we have come to Him and what we expect from Him. And the answer may not be what you want, but definitely He knows the answer. And so this woman faces the prophet, goes on her knees, and the story ends with Elisha raising the young man back to life, and his word to the mother are, pick up your son. And I want to speak to those of you today here who have just dropped your sons, your daughters, who have given up on them, even giving up on your husband, or he's a drunk, or he's like this, or he's like that. I want you to believe God, that He is the God that brings life to the dead and calls those things that are not as though they are. You cannot give up on a child that you birthed. You cannot. I refuse. I am telling you, I refuse to give the devil the strength over my child, over my life, over my family, and calling him the God that is able to destroy. No, no, no. We have a God that is able to restore, that is able to deliver, that is able to heal. And let me tell you, for me, that is the God I believe in. That is the God I trust. That is the God I go to first. I don't go to the pastor first, and I don't go to a friend first to talk about my problem. I talk with God. I talk to God like I'm sitting here and he's there, and I'm saying, okay, so what's up now? You know, God, you know, this is God. This is our Father, you know? Why are we treating God like something distant, who doesn't see what we see, who doesn't know what we know? And yet he says he knows it before it happens. And I want to tell you, in spite of the poverty, in spite of the sicknesses, in spite of every, no health care, no education, right now as I speak to you, all our universities are closed. Our country's economy has crashed. And yet as a mother, I have hope. Because my hope is not in what I see. My hope is in the God that created heaven and earth. That is the God that we serve, mighty to save. So the mothers in here today, I salute you. I celebrate you. Even the young girls who are looking forward to becoming mothers, learn from your mothers. Learn from your grandmothers. You don't have to go and study something when it's right in front of you. Learn, question, because those are godly parents. Godly parents who will strengthen you. Because what you need to know is that that dead thing that you are facing today, you are facing a God that can raise the dead. You are facing a God that will speak to the dead. I have seen miracles in my life because basically we cannot depend on hospitals and medicine and things like that. So we depend on the power of the Spirit and the power of healing and the power of deliverance. And we are able to speak to situations and see it change because God is able. God is able. And I can assure you, if there are grannies in here, great grannies in here, they will tell you they depended more on God than anything else around them. If their child was sick, they prayed for the child. And healing happened. Whatever situation you are facing today, give it to God. The problem with us is, when we give it to God, we go and check how God is doing. And if we think he didn't do what we wanted him to do, we take it back. We do. We take it back because we think we can do a better job. Leave it at the feet. Leave it at the cross. Leave it. And God will do something that will blow your mind. Your dependence on God is all you need. Nothing else. Stop depending on yourself. Stop thinking that you are the problem solver. You have a spirit that is able to do that. You have a spirit that is able to comfort. You are that spirit that brings life. And that is the spirit that I go to. I had a situation with my daughter. Her blood pressure was so high. And we had to rush her to the hospital. But we prayed. We stormed heaven. We questioned. And we spoke into that situation. We rushed to the hospital after that. When we got there, the doctor said, I don't know why she's still alive. And he said, you know, if this was in the West, there would have been a car coming with those flashing lights, pipes all over and things like that. I said, oh no, heaven has done it. Trusting God. They checked everything. They could not find anything wrong with her. God of miracles. I could spend the whole day talking to you about God of miracles. And that's the thing about women. We trust God beyond any shadow of doubt, I know God will come through for me. I know God will do this for me. And that is the African woman. Dependence on God. Trusting God. We had a drought for 2 years, and now we have floods. And I want to thank this church, People's Church, because you helped us feed the women, the widows, and the grannies, and the children, the child-headed household. People were going without food for 3 days. A woman I met said, I haven't eaten for 3 days. And all they did was bow down when they received the message. Just bow down and praised God, knowing that He is the provider, knowing that God is able. But I want to thank you, because without that, many people would have died and perished, and they were dying. But we were able to supply food. We were able to support them through your generous giving of relief funds for us to buy maize and other foods and medical supplies for them. So I want to thank the mothers in here for all that they have done, for the travailing on behalf of their grandchildren, their children, the great-grandchildren, and even the children that are still in the womb, that we pray and we say that blessed is the fruit of your womb. We pray, women pray, women pray. Don't give up on your children. Don't ever give up on your children. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what people are saying, no matter who is saying what, who do you believe? Is it their report or God's report? It is God's report that you believe. For the last year, I have been really sick. I was in and out of hospital. I came to the States to have medical checkups. I went to South Africa to have medical checkups, but they still couldn't find out what was wrong. After some time again, I went back for the same checkups. I went back to the doctor, and he said to me, oh, you could have, latent TB. You don't have it, but I guess, because I had been working for over 16 years with people who had HIV, people who were sick, and it didn't bother me. I went there without gloves. I went there without anything. I nursed people back to health. I prayed for people. We didn't have medicines then, so it was just prayer. It was just storming heaven, laying hands on people, anointing people, just praying. That's what we did. And so from that, then I hear this, and then he says to me, oh, and then you have a weak strain of HIV. I'm like, what? Yeah, a weak strain. So I'm like, okay. He says to me, oh, you don't seem shocked. I said, no, I'm not shocked. But I turned to God as he was still talking. I don't remember what he was saying. And I said to God, I have served you faithfully. Faithfully for 16 years and more. I have walked these fields. I have gone out and served. I have ministered. Okay. Is there something you're trying to teach me in this? Is there something you're trying to show me in this? And the doctor says, oh, that there is treatment these days, but you don't have to because your CD4 count, your viral load is very good. It's a very, very weak strain. And I thought, okay. And then he said, and then somebody said, this is, terminal. What people term terminal, it's a terminal illness. But you know what? The joy that I had was I have eternal life. So anything that you call terminal in my life, God calls eternity. I have eternity in me. And that is something each one of us must remember. Do not let the circumstances, do not let situations determine who you are or where you are going, because God is able. God is able. I'm standing before you today. And I know. I present myself as healed of the Lord. I have no doubt of that. And I thank God for his mercies and his faithfulness each day. And that what is done for women. So women must be celebrated. Women must be honored. Women must be respected and thanked. Because by the grace of God, They have gone through the challenges, the problems of life to raise healthy, disciplined, well-doing men and women that we see today, gathered here today. So I celebrate you moms, I celebrate the grannies, I celebrate the young people, and I say may God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this message from the People's Church. Our desire is to proclaim the Word of God and to see lives transformed. To find more like this, or if you'd like to contact us, visit thepeopleschurch.ca.